This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We're just talking about the Browns' plan and whether you feel like you understand the Browns' plan. The part of it that I don't understand, quite frankly, is how seriously they're going to try and compete. I feel very similar to there's a team I was thinking about that now, of course, I can't think of off the top of my head, where they're like, they go in knowing that there's a very low floor for this team if things go sideways, but that ultimately, like, they're shooting for, like, as many wins as you can get, which this team feels like 7 wins for me.
The Browns in 2025 feel like 7 wins?
Yeah.
I think 7 is a high number compared to what we thought maybe 10 days ago.
Well, no, I mean, I probably thought 7 wins with Joe Flacco, just in terms of, like, the ceiling, like the absolute max you could win.
Oh, you think that's the ceiling? Okay,
yeah, I thought you were going for the broad average. I think this is a 2-7 win team.
We just never know. You never know who's going to win the job and what they could end up doing. If Kenny Pickett starts... And no one believes this is going to happen, but if it turns into Sam Darnold, maybe we have something different than we thought. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's the bet the Browns get to make, is that you're living in a world where if things go great, then you get to pivot off of it, but if not, the plan should be towards 2026.
If you want the Browns to prove their plan worked this year, I don't know if this is the year that that's going to happen. Like, I think proving their plan this year involves a lot of really good young players taking the next step and positioning themselves to be breakout players going into their second year, third year. Like, and Isaiah McGuire solidifying himself as a starting edge rusher for this team opposite of Miles. Yeah, this is about the young running backs. This is about Mason Graham. Like, to me, that's part of them proving their plan. One of the quarterbacks absolutely could. But, like, if the only way the Browns can prove their plan worked is by winning 8 or 9 games, it might not be it. Like, if that's how you're gauging success this year, you might not be gauging it in the right way, which kind of ties into what Chris Sims was saying, former NFL quarterback on Pro Football Talk, talking about the fact that, in this case, I'm talking about wins overshadowing what really, truly probably matters for their plan going into this year. And according to Chris Sims, something else is overshadowing the Browns draft.
I feel bad for Cleveland. I do. I feel bad for Stefanski and Andrew Berry. Because here's the other aspect, too. They really had one of the better drafts in the whole league. I mean, they made a monster trade and got a bunch of really good players. Like, one of the teams I would look at and go, this is one of my favorite drafts there are. I mean, these first 5 picks, 6 picks, 7, I mean, it's great. But we're not talking about any of them again. We're talking about the 7th guy on that screen, Shedeur Sanders. And that stinks for Cleveland, too. And just it always kind of seems that way. When Cleveland gets it going good in one direction, they seem to find some way to kind of shoot themselves in the foot and make sure they slow that roll down a little bit.
I mean, I think drafting Shedeur slowed their roll. But in terms of the credit that is due for a good draft plan, yeah, that is absolutely fair. Shedeur has dominated the conversation around the Browns instead of, hey, it's a really aggressive decision with the Mason Graham thing, and look at the young players they got on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, think about how little we've broken down picks 1, picks 2. And listen, I mean, taking a interior defensive lineman and an offensive lineman is, and a linebacker is not the most sexiest thing in the world, but like it has been overshadowed. I thought it was a really good draft. And I feel like Andrew Berry and company, maybe just the Shador conversation has just overtaken it too much, like Chris mentions, but we have not talked nearly enough about how good of a draft this was, and it did get overshadowed.
I mean, it is a little wonky. I like what they did. I can't admit, on a team that's not expecting to compete next year's about developing, and the poison pill of the last 3 years.
That's where the two quarterbacks, two running backs thing comes in.
Yeah, like, that is a little wonky if you just look big picture, but, like, specific to the players they took, outside of Dylan Gabriel, like, listen, I didn't love taking a linebacker at 33. I think they felt they had to take him there because they thought Seattle was going to take him. They took the linebacker, then Seattle, the next pick back, actually trades back, which might have validated their point. But outside, like, I'm kind of, like, quibbling about where guys are taken. I think if you're nitpicking, like, I would have preferred you swap Judkins and the linebacker. All right, I'm probably nitpicking. Outside of the, I mean, I have no problem with Shador thing. Do I have great confidence it's going to work out? No, because it's on the kid. And I don't know the kid well enough. I don't have a frame of reference. I never had allegiance to the kid the way you maybe did or way others did to have some sort of, well, now that he's a fifth rounder, it's really going to work out. No, the stakes are just lower now that he's a fifth rounder, and I like that more. And, but, like, in a vacuum, I really thought Samson falling to the mid-fourth round was wild, and I like Samson and Judkins together. So, like,
yeah,
like, positionally, I would have liked to see a couple more trench players gone, whether it's another edge rusher or multiple young developmental offensive line. But, like, again, I think these are small quibbling things that we're talking about that are absolutely being overshadowed by Shador.
I mean, yeah, the conversation, if they'd never taken Shador, we would have talked a lot about Dylan Gabriel, and then the conversation would have been Andrew Berry finally gets, like, a full stacked draft class that he's able to do, because for the previous 3 years, Deshaun Watson and the trades took him out of that. And he nailed it. He did a great job. And it's not the conversation. It hasn't been the conversation.
Yeah, and listen, we went in saying, you need some weapons on the offense.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Well, guys, two quarterbacks are weapons. We'll see if they're deployable. They also drafted a tight end who I think people, and maybe the thing that people are missing with Fannin is he's actually pretty versatile as well. So you can line him up as wide out in certain situations.
Are you subtweeting Baldinger now?
Yeah.
Baldy, there's two people that you've loved more than anything in this class. It's Mason Graham.
With the Browns, yeah.
They both did. Mason Graham and Harold Fannin. And then Baldy hates them both.
Although I'm going to tell you right now, a little flip-flop from Baldy. You know I love Baldy.
I don't know. That wasn't a flip-flop.
He had a light touch. Listen, in the morning show today when
on,
it came to Mason Graham.
He was
Graham.
On the show to do the flip-flop, but that doesn't mean he flip-flopped. Reading the room is what happened there. I'll give Baldy.
Okay,
I'm
going to
stick
flip-flop.
Up for Baldy there.
That's
no,
a
he, read, he read the room. He read the room. He didn't want to come on Cleveland radio and bash the number 5 overall pick
in
the first-round selection. I just don't think – well – If he was already honest with us. He was honest with us 2 months ago about what he thought with Mason Graham. I don't think that changed at all.
Well, I think he Mason Graham could be a nice player. That's not what I believe the exact words that he said, was it 2 months ago with you and me, were, I don't see anything special in Mason Graham.
That's what he said, yeah.
So I did not hear that this morning.
No, I didn't hear that.
The Morning Boys did a hell of a job with him. I did not hear Baldy utter those words.
Well, he did it on the station previously. Maybe he felt it wasn't necessary for him to do it again, or else he sounds like a broken clock.
Led Zeppelin doesn't want to play Stairway to Heaven again.
That's right.
No, you're gonna get.
Oh, you think that's Baldy's like greatest hit?
Yes.
You think the Mason Graham isn't special? Is his Stairway to Heaven?
Yes, because I heard it with our friend Jim Costa in Detroit. I heard it everywhere that I could hear Mason Graham talk. Brian Baldinger was haunting me as I was going all in and being like, Mason Graham is a special player. I think he's a great dude. I can't wait to see what he does in the NFL. I think his production in the NFL is going to be better than it was in college. And there was like an echo of Brian Baldinger being like, not special.
As he was the only person that was like in the public talking about anything wrong with Mason Graham.
It was in my dome for 2 months from the moment he said it on our station, because that's the first time I
heard
him say it.
Should the morning show have pressed him further and not let him dodge out of that question?
No. No, because I don't think Baldy.
Or is that uncomfortable for Baldy then?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to do that to Baldy. He's an Odyssey NFL insider. If he wants to flip-flop on a prospect, he can flip-flop on a prospect. I took it to heart, though.
Well,
Still going to call him Baldy when he's on with us. We're going to have fun.
It was the Herald fan in line that I think you probably should have been more mad about.
Slow?
And undersized, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I guess there's...
And said, what was there multiple NFL teams that he talked to that just took him off his board completely?
I guess there's I guess there's football fast, and then I guess there's maybe you get a stopwatch out and you don't like players as much.
Or also
I
just look and see how he was the entire offense. But no. That's neither here nor there.
No, I'm not mad at all. I'm not upset at all. But no, I mean,
It makes more sense why Baldy can't see the Browns' plan if he hates two of the premier players the Browns
that's
took.
That's true.
Yeah, you can see why he's more confused as to what happened.
Gave a lot of credit to the selection of Quinshon Judkins over Travion Henderson. And we probably didn't even talk about that nearly enough, about how they went within five picks of each other.
We haven't talked about it at all. I mean, we're going to get into it a little bit today, I'm sure. But like this is how much Shador has taken over the draft, and how if Barry wanted his flowers, he's not getting it.
Well, and I think when you draft Shador, you know you're not going to get your flowers. You know, no matter whether
maybe
you took
that's
him
why
at
they didn't have the massive cheer when they took him. They understood that this was going to be the big draft where people are like, "All right, we see the laser eyes, we see the vision," and then Shador just overtook all that.
So I look at this draft and I go, "This shouldn't be the draft that defines whether Andrew Berry has a job or not in a year from now."
A year from now is too early anyway.
Well, I mean, like at the end of the season. Like, unless Mason Graham is an absolute bub, just nothing there, right?
Which seems impossible.
And Schlesinger is just not good. Like, unless it's just definitive, these guys stink, they traded down. Like, if there was going to be a player that could get Andrew Berry fired or not, it was Travis Hunter. Mason Graham with a fifth pick is as safe of a pick as you could get in this draft. He just has to not stink. And the same thing with Judkins, the same thing with Samson. Like,
so
none
part,
of these guys need to be world beaters this year.
Okay, but the hard part about that is that typically with those type of players, it's going to take 2 or 3 years to even figure out anyway. But with the quarterbacks, we have a better idea year one what they are and aren't.
But even that, are we going to fire Andrew Berry because a third-round pick or a fifth-round pick wasn't ready?
No, I wouldn't.
But I think there are people who will.
I think there are, too. And it'll be more noticeable based off the third and fifth pick as opposed to what Mason Graham is able to do year one.
Should Andrew Berry's job be on the line with this draft? I don't see it. And I like the draft. It's a little wonky at parts. I get it. I don't think it's going to lead to wins next year automatically, just the way they put this draft out there. But I don't know. I think this is a bridge draft. I don't know this is the one that you stake your claim on there. And we got quick hits coming up in 5 minutes, including some more reaction. We were told we overreacted to the Deontay Johnson signing. We'll see if you still believe with that after hearing this in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.